There are many times when I'm reading of an encounter between Jesus and his disciples where I just wish I could have been the fly on the wall. I can almost hear the banter going on between the disciples in this morning's lesson, each one trying to top the other one. And I'm sure the disciples were all embarrassed when Jesus asked them what they were discussing. They were discussing who among them was the greatest. They had fallen prey to the most natural of human passions, the desire to be number one. It's kind of interesting in this lesson, though, that Jesus didn't scold them for wanting to be in the top spot. He didn't even reprimand them for wanting to be great. For he knew that men and women must be motivated. That's why God gave us such passion. It's perfectly natural to aspire to be the greatest, but there is a strategy for greatness in Jesus' teachings. It's a very special strategy. First, Jesus reminds his followers that greatness is not to be gained by self-elevation. If anyone would be greatest among you, he must be willing to be the least among you. Is there anyone in this world more pathetic than the person running around trying to gain attention for him or herself? How sad we feel for the braggart, the one standing up saying, "Look at me, I'm the greatest. See what I have done." There's a story about a young American woman who stood before Beethoven's piano in a Vienna museum. She struck off a few discordant notes. I suppose she said to the attendant that many noted musicians have inspected this instrument. "Oh yes," replied the man. "Recently Paderewski was here." "Paderewski," she exclaimed. "Certainly he must have played something wonderful." "On the contrary," came the answer, "he did not feel worthy to touch it." If greatness is not found in self-elevation, where then is it found? I would point to Jesus' life. It's probably the best study in greatness, for whose life is greater. And the lessons of Jesus' life are clear. The first step towards greatness we see in his life, the first step is, of course, commitment. One person who was asked what makes a person great answered, "You've got to love people and places and ideas. You've got to live with mind, body, and soul. You've got to be committed. There is no life on the sidelines." And in some ways, if we're really honest with ourselves, most of us are on the sidelines. We know we could be doing more to make the world a better place, loving more, giving more, but we're not really willing to pay the price. Ferdinand Foch, a powerful general in the First World War, reminded us that the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. Greatness is born when someone proclaims, as John Knox did when he set out to claim Scotland for Christ, "Give me Scotland or I die." Commitment is the ultimate sign of inner character and the first step toward achievement. With commitment as the first step, the second is perseverance. Quitters never achieve greatness. Christ, I believe, could have turned around at Gethsemane. He had to make a choice. And so do we. No matter how committed you and I are when we start a task, there's always a point where we come to a test. Greatness is born in commitment, but it matures only through perseverance. There are some people who just won't be defeated in this world. Ex-pro football quarterback Bobby Lane was a colorful character during his playing days. For one thing, he had more than his share of self-confidence. Bobby was known to boast, "I never lost a football game. I just ran out of time. Kind of happened to the Packers last week, didn't it? They ran out of time. It was no wonder that he was a winner. Some people just won't accept defeat. But too many of us, I think, are too easily discouraged at the first stumbling block we encounter. Happens a lot in the church. There's an anonymous poet who once penned these truthful words. I have taught a class for many years, bore many burdens, toiled through tears. But folks don't notice me a bit. I'm so discouraged, I'll just quit. Some time ago, I joined the choir that many souls I might inspire. But folks don't seem moved a bit. So what use to sing? I'll just quit. I've labored long in all church work, and not a task did ever shirk. But folks have talked a little bit, and I won't stand it. I'll just quit. I've led young people day and night and sacrificed to lead them right. But folks won't help me out a bit. And I'm so tired, I think I'll quit. Christ's cause is hindered everywhere, and folks are dying in despair. The reason why? Just a bit. The church is full of folks who quit. Greatness comes from commitment and from perseverance. Commitment also comes from service. That's why Jesus placed a little child before them and said, "When you receive one of the least of these, you've received me." And in another place he said, "He who would be the master of all must be the servant of all." That's always been true in the business world. Build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. In other words, find a product or a service that meets people's needs and you'll be successful. Make your life indispensable to the church to which you belong, to your political party, to the civic organizations you belong to. Seek to serve the least and the lowest. Stand for what is good and lasting and of worth to the human community. And one day your name will be carved in stone. It's clear that commitment and perseverance to a dream are not enough. Many people have been committed to unworthy goals, and the world despises their memories. There was an interviewer from People magazine who once asked former U.S. Ambassador Claire Lutz, what makes a great man or a woman? And her answer was, as I told Jack Kennedy in the White House during the Cuban Missile Crisis, a great man is one sentence. History doesn't have time for more than one sentence. You don't even have to know the person's name. For example, he set out on a passage to the old world and found the new. Or one even closer to our hearts. He died on the cross to save us. What one sentence would sum up your life? He's a good and loving father. She loved her church. He gave his best at everything he did. She made her community a better place in which to live. God wants us to exercise every potential within us. The steps are simple. Make your commitments. Persevere despite your hardships. Consecrate yourself to serving God's children. Those are the steps our Lord took. There's a story of a youthful artist studying under a great master, and he begged permission to use the master's brush. And when the wish was granted, the young man departed with a lilting heart to do his own painting, thinking that his work would be vastly improved. But after some time had passed, the young man returned with the brush, complaining it painted no better than his own. Overhearing the complaint, an assistant told the would-be painter, "Friend, it is not the master's brush you need, but the master's devotion and the master's spirit." That's what we need to be the greatest. Those boastful disciples did become great men, but not through self-elevation. Rather, they became great when they forgot themselves and simply walked in Jesus' footsteps. We would do well to follow their example. Amen.